It's good to be back at West Slide. Am I amplified? I won't be too loud, but I want you to hear me, Brother Robert. Amen. All right. Well, it's good. Very much my pleasure tonight to be back with you good folks. And God's been doing some great things in my end of the world. And I'm not going to take time to talk about them, but I would like to praise Him tonight because God is doing it. I'm not doing it. And they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but God taught me a few lately. And so that saying's not true. Amen. I want to preach tonight from the 37th Psalm, Psalm 37. I trust you folks had good service this morning. We had a washout. I like washouts. Amen. And we had one. And thank God for it. I mean, from the very onset, God was in it and God moved all the way through it. Got out of church at 10 minutes to 1. Amen. Unheard of. Well, maybe not. But unheard of in our realm of the world. Amen. But God sure moved in. Had young men get saved. Several that had been out of church got into altar and got right. And thank God for that. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. Psalms 37 and verse number 23. If you would tonight, in honor of God's infallible and inerrant word, the King James Bible. Psalms 37, verse number 23. And the psalmist writes these words. He says, "The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever." You ought to shout on that. "But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged." And you may be seated. I appreciate you standing. And I want to go back up to verse number 23 tonight. And I preached a series of messages in my pulpit several months ago on the steps on the pathway home. And I want to take some parts of those messages tonight and preach those in a message entitled "Steps on the Pathway Home." But verse number 23, the psalmist said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And I believe that tonight. Amen. I believe that my steps, as far as walking in the will of God, takes me to the place where God wants me to go. It takes me to the program that God has for me. Amen. I believe it takes me to the plan that God has for me. In other words, I believe my steps are ordered by the Lord. And I thank God for that tonight. I believe that God magnifies our steps. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 37, he said, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip." Amen. And I know we can backslide on God, but we can't slip so far that He'll ever leave us or forsake us. Amen. So I believe that God magnifies our steps. But then I believe that God maneuvers our steps. In Job chapter 31, verse 4, it says, "Doth not He see my ways and count all my steps?" Amen. So I believe that God not only magnifies our steps, but He maneuvers our steps. But then I believe God maintains our steps. In Psalms 119, verse 133, it says, "He ordered my steps in Thy Word." Amen. And I thank God tonight that you can get in the Word of God, and God allow you to walk through the Word of God and pick up a nugget every now and then from the gold mine of the Word of God. But then I believe God models our steps. in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." Amen. And I believe we ought to be following the steps of Christ. I believe we ought to be like John the Baptist. And we were talking about this before the service. I believe John the Baptist looked a lot like Christ, not in his facial features, but I believe he looked a lot like Christ in his ways. Amen. And I believe that justified them asking him if he was not the Christ. And I believe that's the way we ought to be. We ought to look like Christ. We ought to have mind like Christ. We ought to have path like Christ, walk like Christ, talk like Christ, and shout like Christ. Amen. So we're looking tonight at steps on the pathway home. The first thing is there are shouting steps because hell is behind me. Now, folks, if you've never shouted or if you're ever going to shout, you ought to shout because hell is behind you. In the Word of God, when the disciples went out and they came back rejoicing over healing and casting out devils and everything else, Jesus rebuked them. He said, "Boys, that's not what you ought to be rejoicing over. You ought to be rejoicing because your names are written down in heaven." Amen. Well, if they're written down in heaven, that means they're not written down in hell. And hell is behind you and heaven is before you. And if that ever bring a shout from a Baptist mouth, it ought to be for that. Amen. I'm not hell bound anymore. I'm heaven bound. So there are beginning steps. Just like a baby. Like the baby that you're going to have, Sister Jennifer. That baby will one day, if God don't intervene, take its first steps. It will say its first word. It'll take its first spoonful of solid food. Amen. So with God, there are beginning steps. In the Christian life, there are beginning steps. When I got saved, I didn't know what I know now. I couldn't do what I do now. I have grown in Christ. Amen. And but when I was first saved, I was a little babe in Christ and couldn't hardly walk. Amen. Had to crawl across the floor in spiritual terms to get up on the lap of my daddy God. Amen. But thank God, one day I took my first step as a child of God. Amen. And then I learned to walk as a child of God. Hey, there are beginning steps. Amen. But then not only are there beginning steps, but there are better steps. When I was a little boy, my dad bought me a little bicycle. It had training wheels on it. Some of you can remember that. Shake your head and I'll know you're lying. And if you remember that, then you remember those training wheels. But there come that day when daddy took the training wheels off. Hallelujah. And you was able to ride that bicycle without the aid of those extra two wheels on the side. Amen. And what a day, thank God, in your spiritual life when God took the training wheels off of your spiritual bicycle and you were able to ride. Hallelujah. Amen. There's better steps, but then there's building steps. I used to have to crawl to daddy to get on his lap. But now I walk into his presence. Sit on his lap. Let him put his arms around me and tell me how much he loves me. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that humbles me. And the Word of God said in the book of Hebrews that we can come before the throne of grace boldly. And we don't have to ask. We don't have to make reservations. You don't have to call ahead time. You don't have to book a flight. All you got to do is walk into the presence of God and sit down on your daddy's lap and tell him what's wrong in your life. Amen. Well, if hell is behind me, I ought to remember some treasures. Amen. The miracle of salvation. I don't know about you, but I never have forgotten about the day I got saved. Amen. Still alive with me. It's still a live wire. Amen. You plug me in real quick. You start talking about the day I got saved. It's just as real today, 45 years after it happened, as it was that night that the Holy Ghost met me at the end of that pew and led me to that altar and saved my soul by the grace of God. Hallelujah to God. I thank God He saved my soul. Amen. Amen. You ought to remember some treasures. the maintenance of salvation, the miracle of salvation, how He keeps you saved. Have you ever given much thought to that? I mean, we say, the Lord, save me and the Lord keeps me. That's a great statement. But have you ever given much thought to the maintenance of your salvation? Yeah, man. You realize if you had to keep yourself saved, how hard it'd be? Have you ever given much thought to that? Have you ever given much thought to the fact that you couldn't keep yourself saved? If you could, you didn't have power to do it. But God maintains your salvation. Hallelujah. You've never slipped so far you lost again. You can't be lost again. Your salvation is embedded in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And just as He stood out on the right hand of the Father and said that it's finished, hallelujah, it is finished. Amen. Well, if you want to remember some treasures, you ought to remember some truths as well. You need energy for your nature. If you don't eat physically, you dry up and die. Amen, preacher. And if you don't eat spiritually, you'll dry up and die. Amen. And I think that's why we have so many dead Baptist churches today. It's because people are not eating spiritually anymore. It's kind of like going to the table. You know, you have a big old homecoming table with all the turkey and dressing and nanner pudding and all the potatoes. And y'all getting hungry? I can get you hungry. Physically, I want to get you hungry spiritually. Amen. But you have all that food, you just stand over and say, no, I don't think I'll do it. I think I'll just let all that pass. Amen. And then an hour later, you say, you know, I'm hungry. I don't understand why I'm hungry. I do. You won't eat. You had food in front of you and you won't eat. That's the way it is spiritually tonight. You got food in front of you, but you won't eat. Amen. And then an hour later, 2 days later, you say, hey, I don't know why it's so cold in my spiritual life. I don't know why I can't hear God's voice anymore. I don't know why this is happening to me. I do. Hey, you won't eat. Glory to God. The energy for your nature. Gotta have a balanced diet. You got Christians trying to eat off the briars and the weeds in this world. And you need to be in God's green pastures feeding off His green grass. Say amen right there. Well, you need some encouragement for your needs. You need energy for your nature. You need encouragement for your needs. Amen. You got saved by the finished work on Calvary. But hey, you gotta have communion. Did you know that every day you get up, you ought to have a conference with your old nature because it's still there? Yeah, man, a lot of Baptists don't think that old nature's still there. Oh, yeah, it is. Hey, that old man's still there. That old devil's still there. God didn't save your flesh when He saved you. He saved your soul. And flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. And your flesh is going back to the dirt of the earth. And there's not a thing you can do about it except defeat and crucify your flesh. Every day you get up, have a conference with your flesh and tell them who's the CEO in your life. Amen. There are shouting steps, hell's behind me. But then there are structured steps. The Holy Ghost builds me. Hallelujah. He's building my spiritual house. He's building yours if you'll let Him. You see, when God saved me, He hung out a sign. Construction work in progress. Amen. And that sign's still out in my life. I'm still a work in progress. I'll be a work in progress until God calls me home. He got a building permit issued. Amen. And when God saved me, the Holy Ghost moved in my soul and moved His furniture in and took up residence. Amen. And closed the door where nobody else could get in. Hallelujah. I'm saying that there are structured steps. The Holy Ghost builds me. He started building my foundation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19 says, the foundation of God standeth sure. And that's what I'm built on tonight. I'm not built on the false doctrines and the sand of this world. I'm built on the foundation of God. Amen. And when everything in this world's getting hell, I'll tell you what I got, what I stand on. I'll be standing sure. Hallelujah. Not only foundation, but framework. Ephesians 2:21 says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord.
That's what my body is supposed to be. A holy temple. A place, a habitation for God. And I want to tell you something, there'll be no habitation in your soul. You can't have a habitation until somebody moves in.
Amen.
That's right. Until the Holy Ghost takes up His residence in your soul, you don't have a habitation. Amen. You got to get the house.
But then there's fitness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22 says, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God. Habitation, the word habitation means a place of residence. It means a dwelling place. It means a place where somebody has a habit of coming. Amen. I want my life to be a place where Jesus has a habit of coming. Amen. I don't want it to be a stranger in my life. I want it to be friendly in my life. I want it to be able to knock on my door and come into my life anytime He gets ready. Hallelujah. Well, structured steps. The Holy Ghost builds me. And there's shouting steps. Hell's behind me. But then there's shining steps. The heavenly Savior brightens me. I don't know about you, but He sure brightens my life. Amen. A lot of days it just ain't worth living in this world. Don't give me that spiritual. Don't give me that ultra-spiritual look. You've got them in your life too. You say this ain't worth living. Yeah, but it is when the sun, S-O-N, shines in your life. Amen. When you get reminded that no matter how dark the days are, how bleak the future might be, how bad it looks in Washington, hey, I want to say if that Son of God is in your life and He's shining on you, glory to God, you have brightness in your life. You don't have to live dull, glory to God. You live happy, hallelujah. He brightens me. He brightens my paths. He does that by conquering darkness. Did you know light dispels darkness? Did you know light conquers darkness? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Right. Amen. Right. And if you're living in darkness, tonight you're a child of God and you need to reach up and turn light on. Amen. That's right. I'm talking about Jesus, the light of the world. And let Him light your world, glory to God. I thank God for His light on me. I thank God I'm knowing the Word of God. He'll turn on the light of the Word of God. He'll show me the nuggets in the Word of God. He'll show me how to live. He brightens my paths. Amen. By brightening my paths, but He also brightens my possessions. You know, we are rooted and grounded in this world too. Deep. Bible says we are pilgrims in this world. We're strangers in this world. We're just passing through. Amen. What you got here is a little tent. And one day, you're going to fold that tent up. And the Archangel Gabriel is going to step out on a cloud and blow that trumpet. Hallelujah. And you're not going to a tent. Jesus didn't go and prepare a tent for you. He went to prepare a mansion for you. Amen. And if the Word of God's right, and I read it right, when He left this world, He left the church, and church is His bride. Amen. That makes Him the bridegroom. That makes the fact that He's going back to get the house ready for His bride to move in. Amen. Lord, I'm telling you tonight, hallelujah, we ought to look up yonder. The Bible says when He gets to looking bad down here, look up, cause your redemption's on now. They put you on all this mess where you don't worry me a bit. Stock market crashing, don't worry you. No, I ain't got any stock in it anyway. Banks failing, don't worry you. Nope. I'm telling you the truth. Don't worry me a bit. Why not? You lose all your money. I ain't going to lose a thing. It's mine. That ain't mine. Oh, I'm getting down there where I'm just getting bad and dangerous territory. Hey, that's not my money. That's just what God's loaned me and let me borrow to use in this world on my journey home. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, what I own is an inheritance in glory land. What I own, hallelujah, is a peace in heaven. What
What I own is a share of the salvation of God. What I have tonight is God Almighty in my soul.
And he ain't for sale.
I put on our church website a little place. I said, just in case you want to know, this is one preacher that ain't for sale. Hallelujah. And I ain't. But there are shining steps the Savior brightens me. He brightens my possessions. He also brightens my involvement. That's my habits. You see, ever since I got saved, I have a habit of praying. Y'all got a habit of praying? Hey, man, shake your hand. I know you lie. Hey, you got a habit of praying? Child of God, I don't have a habit of praying. You say, yeah, I pray. I ask God for things I need. That ain't praying. I'm going to shake you out tonight. You know what praying is? It's agreeing with God. Amen. Yeah, you say, well, but the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Yep, but you've got to ask in the will of God, or you're not going to receive. You can ask for a Cadillac to keep you from walking, but God will supply you a Volkswagen, because that Volkswagen will supply your need, and the Cadillac will supply your wants. Amen, amen. I want to say, do you have a prayer life tonight? I mean, talking to God, communion with God, of getting a hold of the horns of the altar. Do you have a prayer life? Amen. I got a habit of praying. Can't help myself, brother. I got a habit of studying. I love to study the Word of God. I love to take the Word of God and open the Word of God and read a passage that I've read 100 times before. And all of a sudden, something will jump out. Oh! I've read many a book. My granddaddy was a self-learned man. He gave me all his books. I had 300 of them. I read all his books. I love to read books. Amen. But hey, those books, I'll read them one time. Go back, read them again. Same thing. Read them again. Same thing. Read them again. Same thing. Oh, you listen to me. But I pick up the blessed, holy of King James Bible and read it again. Hallelujah. And it'll come alive in a different way than it's ever come alive before. Have a habit of studying. Have a habit of witnessing. Amen. I like to tell people what Jesus did for me. Say, preacher, I don't know how to witness. Well, yeah, you do. If you're saved, you know how to witness. Say, I witness, preacher. Tell them what happened when you got saved. That's all you know anyway. Hey, you can't tell them something you don't know. That'd be a lie. Tell them how you got saved. And you were there when you got saved, weren't you? Amen. Hey, tell them how you got saved, glory to God. And if that don't move them, nothing will. Amen. Got a habit of shouting. Some people don't like my shouting. I don't give a rip whether they like it or not. I'm going to shout. I don't plan on having to go to school when God takes me out of this world and learn how to shout. As a matter of fact, this is a little bit of hint synology. It would be my delight if God would allow me to teach the school on shouting that a lot of Baptists are going to have to go to before they get to glory, because glory is going to be all shouting. Have you ever read Revelation chapter 5? If you read that, it says, and there were multitudes around the throne shouting the praises of God, saying, glory to God, worthy is the Lamb, hallelujah. Hey, heaven is going to be a shouting place, and I think we ought to get in gear down here, amen. I'm in low gear shouting down here, but when we get to glory, I'm going to shift in overdrive. Amen. If I read my Bible right, and I think I do, everything I do on the first day in glory is what I'm going to do for eternity. Amen. So if I start shouting on the first day, first minute, first second in heaven, I'm going to be shouting forever. Hallelujah. That's a little hit synology. But it's pretty good. Well, there's shouting steps, the hell's behind me. There's structure steps, the Holy Ghost builds me. There's shining steps, the Heavenly Savior brightens me. But lastly, there's settled steps, the house of God beckons me. Amen. There's a call.
in my soul about the house of God.
Boy, I get emotional about the house of God.
Amen.
Every one of them's different. Every one's got its own personality. You folks got a personality here, and I love you for it. My church got a different personality. Both are of God, but you got different people, different personalities. That's why God's got different churches. Amen, amen. You ever thought about that? You ever thought why we don't have one world church like Barack Obama is saying we ought to have, or like George Bush Sr. said we ought to have? Are you wondering about that? Because you can't have a one world church because you don't have a one world personality. You've got an individual personality. That's why you have the autonomy of the local church. That's why you don't need anybody here to tell you what to do. You've got sense enough by the power of God and your pastor to run this church without outside intervention. Say hallelujah, glory to God, name it all the same way. But I love the house of God. Hallelujah. Nothing. I get up on Sunday morning, don't nobody pump me full of coffee and push and prod and beat me, get me to the house of God. I got something on the inside of me. I got a radar. Woo! And that radar goes off. Ain't nothing going to satisfy me on that day but the house of God. Oh, you hearing me, folks? I'm telling you, the house of God beckons me. I'd rather be in the house of God and be around God's chosen people. Yeah, it don't take a whole lot to get God's youngins excited. Hallelujah. I like to see God manifest Himself and come into the presence of the house of God and move on somebody and somebody shout, somebody testify, somebody sing and pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God.
There's something about the house of God. It's a great place to build. You young people, listen to me. You start a family, you build that family in the house of God. Amen, amen, amen. So that's no guarantee. I'll take that guarantee over what the world's got to give me today. Amen, amen, preacher. You put it in them. That's what the Bible said. Dude, put it in them. Put it in them. Amen. Introduce them to God. Introduce them to the Holy Ghost. Introduce them to shout. Introduce them to hard, old-time preaching. I'll tell you, they'll never get it out of them. They might make mistakes. They might fall. I did. My kids did. You did. But thank God, if it's in you, you'll come back to it. Glory to God. I'm saying to you, it's a great place to build your family. Amen.
Great place to build your faith. The word faithfulness means full of faith. And you can't be faithful if you don't have faith. But then again, you can't say you got faith if you're not faithful. Am I making any sense to anybody tonight? In other words, I'm telling you, you ought to be faithful. The Bible says it's required a steward to be found faithful. In other words, the bottom line is, are you faithful? Say, well, preacher, I preach and I teach and I sing, but are you faithful? Amen. I've met a few preachers who wasn't faithful. I know a couple of evangelists that when they're not preaching, they don't go to church. I wouldn't go across the road and spit on their shoes. I'm sorry. I'm just telling it like it is. Amen, preacher. I'm just saying you've got it. Bottom line is faithful. It don't matter what you think you are. It don't matter the position that you have, whether you're a preacher or just a few sayer. The bottom line of the Word of God and God's expectations on us is that you be found faithful. Amen. When you stand before God, He's going to look at you. If I'm quoting it wrong, tell me. He's going to say, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, like Sunday school teaching. Amen. Treasurer of the church, secretary of the church. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Amen, amen. Bottom line is faithfulness.
There's no replacement for it. It's a great place to build your faith. But it's also a great place. Not only a great place to build, but lastly, it's a great place to become. It's a great place to become a child of God. I'm glad I got saved in the church. Church's not the only place you can get saved. Nope.
But I believe you got to hear the Word of God before you get saved.
I do. I didn't say you had to hear it when you get saved. I said you had to hear it before you got saved.
Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How could you hear without a preacher?
You can't wipe that out of it. It's still in there.
Say amen. But in America, I don't know of anybody who really can stand up honestly and say they hadn't heard some form of preaching. It'd be hard to say for an American, wouldn't it? You could go deep as far as Africa, maybe that could be said and be true. But not in America. It's a great place to become a child of God. I'm glad I got saved in an old town missionary Baptist church. It's not a drop in the bucket of what it was when I got saved in it. That's all right. It's not anything like it anymore. It's dead, it's quiet, it's liberal. That's all right. There's still a piece of my heart in that church. Third pew from the back, on my left or your right, sitting out there where I sat for 13 years. I was a member of the church. I've been baptized. I had it all. Youth group. Everything. But I was as lost could be. And that night, that preacher stood there and preached hellfire and brimstone. He made hell hot and heaven sweet. Holy Ghost moved in beside me and said, "Son, you're going to go to hell sitting on the church pew." Raked my soul over hell. That night, I got saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, folks, the house of God is a great place to become a child of God. It's a great place to become saved. But then it's a great place to become a soldier. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. We're still in the battle, but nobody recognizes it anymore. We're throwing up the white flag of surrender in the Baptist churches. Oh, yeah. We're letting the world tell us that we can't have church anymore. We're letting this liberal crowd tell us that old-time preaching won't work anymore. Oh, yeah, it will. Yes, it will. 2 months ago, a young teenage girl walked in my church. Had been high on drugs the night before. She wasn't high when she come in. A teenage girl, 14 years old. You say, they tell me that old-time preaching won't reach these kids. They're as dumb as a box on rocks. And I preached that day, and that little old girl, tears running down her eyes, walked down the aisle. And she got Jesus Christ in her heart. I'm telling you, the old cowboy, it worked for Grandpa behind the plow. And the old time way will work today. It ain't the kids that don't want to hear it. It's those old sorry mamas and daddies that's got sin in their life that won't let them hear it. Amen. I'm telling you, hallelujah, the old time way, old time shouting, old time preaching is the way that God ordains. Hallelujah. They cannot convince me that God would ordain my style, your pastor's style of preaching for 400 years preaching like that in this country and in Europe, and God would change His mind. I don't believe it. I believe they're lying. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to get off on that, but that was good preaching. Would you all stand? The altar's open. Steps on your way home. God ordains your steps. If you'll let Him. I wonder tonight if you're allowing Him to ordain steps in your life. Altar's open. I believe you know tonight whether you need God or not. I don't believe I have to say anymore. If you don't have anything else to pray about tonight, why don't you come down here and pray for your country? The country's in a mess tonight.
We're on the brink of disaster. If you look at it from a spiritual, biblical standpoint, we're on the brink of disaster. Now I know that somebody say, well, preacher, ain't used to pray because the Bible says it's going to happen. The Bible didn't say you weren't supposed to pray, though. The Bible said it was going to happen, but it didn't say you weren't supposed to pray. It didn't say you're supposed to sit back and hasten the day that happened. It didn't say you're supposed to sit back and do nothing while it happened. It just said it's going to happen. But if you don't have nothing else to pray for tonight, why don't you come down here and pray for your country? Just bow and say, God help us. God help America. America's in trouble tonight. God, don't intervene. I really don't know if God will intervene in America the way she's been slapping him in the face all these years. 83 million murders of our babies in 38 years in America. I don't know if God would intervene. But I know if He will, it'll be because the people of God get on their knees and beg God to intervene. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you don't have anything else to pray about tonight, come pray for your country. Would you do that?